Hello and welcome to the Monday, July 1st, 2013 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Instagram late last week was the victim of a rather successful spam and phishing campaign. Apparently what happened was that users received a password reset email claiming to be from Instagram, which then led them to a phishing site. The email essentially stated that the password needs to be reset because of some odd account activity. Now, what happened then with the stolen credentials was that a spam was posted to the respective accounts. The spam depicted various fruit items and drinks, claiming to be an advertisement for a new diet scheme. And the spam then redirected users to a fake BBC lookalike page, making it look like BBC was favorably covering this particular diet scheme. We haven't really seen a lot of Instagram spam or phishing at this point, but given its increase in popularity and recently sort of making the news with its new video feature, that probably triggered spammers and paying more attention to this particular medium. And also last week we had a series of patches from Cisco. Now, one patch that stood out somewhat and I want to cover in a little bit more detail is a patch for the IronPort anti-spam appliance. Turns out that one of the vulnerabilities is particularly easy to exploit. It's a remote command execution. Essentially what happens here is that a shell command can be added to a URL and then it's executed on the appliance. Now, you do have to be logged in order to exploit this vulnerability, so people may not take it all that serious. However, what could happen, and that's I think the important part here, that a user of yours only has to click on a link in order to trigger the vulnerability. So someone could send an email to an authenticated user, and then as soon as the user clicks on the link, the exploit will be triggered and the attacker is able to gain shell access to the IronPort appliance. There are also some denial of service vulnerabilities that are being patched here, so certainly a patch to probably pay attention to. And with the increased focus and interest in encrypted communication, it's important to note that one of the important key libraries used in a lot of these systems, CRTPCPP, is vulnerable to a number of buffer and stack overflows. So if you're using software like, for example, Silent Circle, Twingle, Linphone, or any one of these encrypted phone applications that implement the CRTP protocol, you probably want to double check and make sure that you patch it in order to get the latest version of this library. And a researcher in Italy came up with an interesting little trick to get users to execute software from websites. In Internet Explorer, if you are downloading an executable, you will get a pop-up box asking you if you want to save or execute the file or cancel the download. Well, it turns out that it's possible in Internet Explorer to actually hide this form and instead present the user with a captcha that will ask the user to enter the captcha text to get to the file. Now, what happens here is if the captcha starts with the letter that actually triggers the execution of the download, which in the English version of Internet Explorer is R for run, then the user thinks they're typing the captcha starting with R, but what they're really doing is they're typing R as run the software and are actually executing it. Now, this is not 100% reliable, depends a lot on how Internet Explorer is configured. For example, in the default configuration, you would get the additional sort of yellow bar that asks you to confirm the download, and that appears to block the exploit, at least the default configuration. But it's yet another example of the sort of clickjacking type exploit, as the researcher notes, because it kind of presents the user with a different user interface than it probably should in order to really understand what the user is doing here. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening. This week, of course, it's 4th of July week here in the US. So we'll probably have no podcast for Thursday and Friday.